gonna come up here.
Okay.
Right, and then not the head.
So we need to get to.
How do we know where you?
I think it's always clicking.
It's fine, just keep going down, that's it. Keep going.
Ah, you've got one more slide.
So we're on, we're leaving. Okay, you missed the best.
I missed the best, yeah. Yeah, Rita gave me a thumbs up.
Okay, thanks everyone. We're gonna make a slight agenda change. Rather than going with Andy's presentation at this point here, we're gonna move ahead to the next presentation from Thomas. It's the FRC or FR, financial reporting last.
Both.
It's both.
We like to confuse it by using both.
Okay, I'm gonna go with from the Financial Reporting Council. And I think the presentation is really a sneak peek at the results of your 2016 survey.
You can characterize it as that. I will hopefully enlighten you a little bit further.
Okay, let you go ahead then.
Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for making the time in the what looks like a very busy agenda to understand and listen a little bit about the lab project. One of the underlying themes always with technology and reporting is context. So I'm going to start by giving you a little bit of context about the lab and about the project for those of you who haven't heard of the financial reporting lab before. Then I'm going to give you some a little bit of background about the project that we're running at the moment, which is called Digital Future Data, giving you some view as to what we're trying to achieve and kind of time scale and time frame that we're trying to achieve it on. Some sneak peeks as to kind of what we've been learning and what we've been hearing so far. I've also included some a number of questions which are in there, and great to get some feedback, but obviously time dependent. And I'll let you know about what kind of is the next in the flight plan for the project. So the Financial Reporting Lab is part of the Financial Reporting Council. So the Financial Reporting Council is the UK regulator and owner of the accounting standards in the UK. They also are the regulator for auditors and accountants in the UK. We look after the UK Corporate Governance Code. So we have a number of different regulatory hats that we have. And we are also involved in the management of the iXBRL taxonomy in the UK. Now, the FRC is very much focused on regulation and governance, but the FRC, the Financial Reporting Lab is completely different from the rest of the FRC. So we were set up about 5 years ago. The idea is that we are a non-regulatory approach, so we work with companies and investors to work on best practice solutions for reporting issues and reporting requirements. So really what's, I guess, one of the kind of fundamental aspects about the projects that we work on is that they always involve companies and investors. And so when we talk about the views that we hear through the project, it's the views of the participants rather than the views of the FRC or the reporting lab itself. So just to give you a flavour, we worked with about 70 companies and over 100 investment professionals since we've been established, and more than 300 retail investors on a various range of topics. So to touch on this project, so the FRC launched a wider initiative in 2013, which was called Corporate Reporting in a Digital World, and it was really reflecting upon the fact that technology continues to be a significant element in corporate reporting, and it was reflecting the fact that when we spoke to preparers and investors, they had a number of questions about the way that information was communicated, and certainly from the preparers' perspective, there was desire to have an understanding of what worked and what didn't work for investors. So we undertook this longer term project. We split it into two parts. The first part was called digital present, and that was really focused on the current mechanisms and mediums that companies use for communication, their financial information through to investors. So things like the favorite of everybody, I imagine, PDF, website apps, web and apps, reports, presentations, etc. And really we were focusing on trying to understand what investors thought about those different mechanisms as a way of communication, and really focusing on how they could be improved. So kind of what was the low-hanging fruit in terms of making them work better for people. So I guess some of the things that we learned through that project was really that many of the kind of technology mediums that companies, or communication mediums that companies were using, didn't really have high take-up from investors because they didn't necessarily, they weren't necessarily aligned to the desires or attributes that they were looking for. That there is a strong inertia within companies and investors around kind of the adoption of technology, and certainly there's a kind of a paper mindset that exists very much across, I guess, companies and also partly from a regulatory perspective. One of the, I guess, kind of the key areas around adoption of technology was that many of the kind of many attributes that investors were looking for, they were already getting through the data providers, so they were receiving through other channels, and that there's kind of a critical mass needed for adoption. So there's a bit of a first mover disadvantage if you're a company, if you're doing things very differently from everybody else. So that was kind of the first project, and then what we wanted to do was then think more about how technology is changing in the future, and investigate some of the key technologies and the things that are enabled by technology, how they're going to be potentially impacting corporate reporting. So to give you a bit of a flavour as to the scope of the project, and I guess some of the kind of key junctions that we're trying to go through. So technology and corporate reporting and communication is such a wide field that you can go potentially in many, many different directions. So to help focus, we're really thinking about information that's principally for investors, that is delivered electronically, and that is prepared by the company. So that kind of gives you an idea of effectively of our scope. So what we wanted to do was really focus on what attributes or qualities that those who are preparing information and those who are utilizing the information really, really want from information delivered digitally. And we think that by kind of being slightly agnostic to technology at the beginning and focusing on the attributes, that gives us a kind of a clear framework of requirements that we can then look to see how various technology and technology enabled trends might meet the mix of attributes that are demanded or desired by those who are preparing information and those who are utilizing the information. So we're hoping to develop this kind of framework, and we're doing that through surveys and interviews with preparers and investors at the moment. That hopefully will be out sometime before Christmas, depending on the powers that be within the FRC whether we manage to get a critical mass of interviews conducted. And then what we're going to be doing is using that framework to consider various different technologies, so and technology-enabled trends. And so we're expecting to have a series of reports coming out sometime next year looking at various technologies and how they might impact corporate reporting. So just to give you, I guess, a flavour of some of the things that we're hearing at the moment, and I think some of these kind of overall factors very much resonate. So I was observing the session this morning about context, about standardization and versus sort of principle space. So that some of those things are quite reflected. But what we undertook alongside our kind of corporate participants, which is where we open up the project to to the wider invitation to people to come forward to participate. We undertook a survey, so we had about 90 responses for that, and we were asking in the future what attributes people thought would be important for corporate reporting information delivered digitally. So just to give you a kind of a brief flavour, and this is splitting the results between investors, so what investors think is important to investors, what preparers think is important to investors, and what auditors and others think is important to investors. This is the investor perspective, or what would be important to investors. So searchability was kind of the key attribute that people were interested in. Downloadability into the models was the kind of the second aspect, and then kind of portability was the third. And you can see quite a good level of consistency between what investors think is important to them and what preparers think is important to investors, which is heartening to see. We also asked what attributes are important to preparers, and I guess from the preparer's perspective there, you can see kind of timely, supporting multi-format compatibility, and relatively cheap to produce. So these are kind of attributes that are around production of information, and again, there's a relatively good level of consistency, although interestingly, the investors viewed assurance as potentially more important to the preparers than the preparers identified it. So that just gives you a flavour of some of the kinds of key attributes and the kind of relative ranking in terms of importance. We also were asking people about technologies and technology-enabled trends, and whether, as this part of the scope of the project, we are going to be covering the right areas and elements. So we were asking what technologies and technology trends would be important for the future of corporate reporting. So probably the most interesting aspect here, really, if you look at the investor column, so the number one technology which was identified there was augmented reality and virtual reality, which is interesting. And certainly there was some discussion earlier in one of the breakout sessions where somebody mentioned augmented reality as perhaps being important in the future, so that's quite interesting. And then from a company perspective, you see more kind of the traditional elements around videos and kind of websites. So that's kind of the technologies that we're going to be covering. And I guess in terms of themes that are kind of coming through from the project, and again, it kind of ties into what was being discussed earlier in the day, is it seems that potentially technology is exacerbating the tension between the standardization and the storytelling. So it was interesting to hear the discussion earlier around that kind of aspect, and certainly it's a tension that has always existed in corporate reporting, and it's kind of unhappily lived together within an annual report, but technology really is exacerbating the expectations of users in terms of having this kind of difference between standardization and storytelling. So it's kind of an interesting area, and one that we'll be trying to explore and understand whether technology provides an opportunity to merge those two together, and whether there's kind of a solution out there. So that would be good to understand. Context is extremely important, and understanding how technology continues to provide the link to the context is crucial. And I guess context and understanding how people are getting comfortable with that is really important, and one of the areas that we're pushing in the project. Data quality and assurance, that seems to be quite critical. So when we're talking to people, the value of assurance, but also the value of understanding the level of assurance of the information that you're looking at is also coming out as being something that is highly desired. And then we still have questions that we're discussing with the participants around whether the regulation is focused on the right aspects in terms of sort of the delivery mechanism, and whether the reporting requirements are focused on the right pieces of information. So for example, in the UK, the preliminary announcement versus the annual report. Preliminary announcement is extremely important. Does it have the right right level of focus. So in terms of kind of questions views, it would be really interesting to understand what the committee's views are on the challenges that we've heard and whether and that we're hearing, and whether they're kind of similar to those that you're hearing in your own experiences. Also would be really interested to understand whether the technologies that we're focused on are seem to be, and technology enabled trends seem to be right, or whether there are areas that we, you know, would be helpful for us to explore, and also happy to take views on kind of attributes that people might think are important for reporting in the future. And just from the attributes perspective, I've just provided here a list of all of the attributes that we've kind of come across so far, in terms of both preparers and interest. So I'll pause there for questions.
Just in terms of setting the scene, can you describe sort of the base of people you've interviewed? Is it UK specific, or is it sort of worldwide? Or
yeah, so I think it's given the FRC itself and then the focus of the FRC, significantly our user base is, and our stakeholder base is UK focused. However, this project has generated quite a lot of interest from overseas. I think we had about, the survey, for example, had about 14 or 15 different countries respond, and at various levels through the corporate reporting chain. It's fair to say that, so we've had about 60 participants who've kind of come forward and said they want to move on to the next stage, which is more in-depth interviews. The balance of those is, around about half of those are preparers or investors, and the rest are other stakeholders, so audit firms, various regulators around the world, design agencies, and others who are kind of consumers of corporate information, so sustainability, technology firms, and that's the kind of ilk of the table.
So I'd ask, I guess from the UK perspective, there's lots of XBRL data created, but it just goes into a tax black hole. Whereas there's other territories where that data is public. So just wondered how things maybe differed between the two.
Yeah, and I think we're also very interested in picking up and understanding the experience of different markets, because certainly some of the aspects around the usability is about how it gets implemented in a jurisdiction. So, for example, whether you tag the corporate actions, what use is made of those versus tagging the annual financial statement. So, we are very interested in hearing from good experience.
Lou?
So, on slide 9, and apologies if you covered this and I missed it, but it's really
nine. What's
slide
on that
nine.
Slide?
Well, and this is the one with digital future, what we have learned, companies, investors, and others across the top, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,
the pink one.
That's
it.
So, a couple of questions on this slide. The difference, so the first column is what companies said, right? And
yeah.
The second column is investors.
Yeah.
So it's remarkable that companies want video, think video first, and investors have it fourth. But this augmented reality blows my mind. I'm even curious how you set that up in the questions, that they understood what you were. I'm not even entirely sure what you're looking for there. I mean, is this Pokemon Go or something?
Well, there was a lot of press around Pokemon Go at the time, so it could be that's what they were.
They were trying to finish their game when they answered the question.
Exactly, and I mean, the way that surveys are a very relatively blunt instrument, so we never use surveys as the results of our work. What we do is we take the survey results and then use them as a basis of questions for the interview. So when we're going and speaking to people as part of the interview stage, we're really asking, well, what what would that be? What does that mean? Because what one person thinks is augmented reality, one person will say is virtual reality, one person will say that's just visualization of data, and really trying to get to the understanding of what they think it is and why they think it would be useful and where they think it would make sense. But it is interesting, just from the fact that it is quite different from
right. What we have. Well, the idea of being able to visualize data is not a new idea, and I can see how investors might find that very intriguing. So I get that. I also get why companies would say no, forget about it. I also think there's a little bit of false equivalency in here. XBRL, and so I'm going to sound defensive here because it scores so low, but XBRL is a technology, and yet things like open data and big data, they're higher on the list, and XBRL is really just an aspect of that.
Yeah.
So I'm...
And the ranking has no value in terms of whether we're going to be looking at it or not. We're just trying to ascertain whether we are looking at the right areas, so we're definitely looking at XBRL because it's fundamental.
Yeah, so my point there is maybe it's not really XBRL, because that has connotations of a variety of not all good. It's really about structured data and how you're able to make use of that. Right?
Yeah. And we did in the survey, it was XBRL structured data tagging. It was had a number of we used a number of terms. I mean, I think what's kind of interesting, and I guess some of the things that we're picking up as we're going through and starting to discuss in more detail with companies and investors, is some of these things are, in terms of the ranking, are manifestations of some of the other things we're talking about. So video, for example, is one way of managing to maintain the consumption of the message versus, in a world where there's lots of information and lots of data, you lose the ability to maintain that. So it's more, what's interesting is the themes that underlie
I'd like to see how an investor populates their earnings model from a video. That would be a very interesting process.
Would be, yeah. It would be an interesting model. Although, I sort of read an article recently, and as I understand it, Bloomberg have already built a virtual reality terminal in Oculus Rift. So if it's going to be technology, it's on people's desks.
Magic Leap has an amazing product for financials. I don't know if you checked them.
I have not.
Magic Leap. The original investors come from Google. They invested $1 billion.
So just before we go to the next question, and while we're on this slide, I have a quick question. For this question in itself in the survey, was there a time element to it? As in,
how far in the future?
2 years, 5 years, and so on. Because you just said future could be 20 years, and all of this data could be skewed as a result.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And again, it's one of the areas that we, when we're doing the interviews, we're asking people kind of time frames. We didn't in the survey just because people get a bit question overload when we try to do this before. What's important in 5 years? What's important in 10 years? For people to pick. But yes, it's an area that we clarify.
Useful. Sorry to jump in. I think you were up next, Dirk.
Yeah. When I remember correctly, you did also provide an ESMA consultation paper, the FRFC, and then if you also correctly remember, you made reference to this specific survey.
So it was to the previous report.
Ah, okay, that was the previous one, because that had really kind of surprising elements like with PDF. So it was really said that PDF is a kind of alternative. So with that now, as you did an update, did you further continue to really challenge this outcome? Because this was, I think, really in the XBRL community very, very much discussed there, PDF as an alternative for structured reporting. So did you further elaborate on that in your second study? Yes?
So with PDF, and I think it's why we've embedded, in many regards, why we've embedded this second project in the attributes, because it isn't really PDF. No one has a preference for the actual underlying technology of PDF, and whether some of the attributes that people attach to PDF will, were correctly interpreted by them and whether they really understood how PDF works is a question. But I think that's why we're focusing on attributes and benefits that people are seeking rather than thinking about the technologies themselves, because it's quite difficult for people to think more ahead of what they are actually utilising currently. So, we're going to be focusing on the attributes and comparing those to technologies. It may be that we find that I guess we may look at the PDF and sort of updates to PDF and PDF 2.0 and consider whether that has an additional benefits to the original PDF. But I think focusing on the attributes helps us kind of be agnostic to the technologies at the first place.
I think remember that previous the mention about the PDF is that some investors.
Sorry, Chi, you haven't got your microphone on.
Some investors are answering what is important for the digital reporting. That time, many people answering to the question is portability.
Yes.
So that it, at that time, your conclusion is maybe the PDF is must be. Important. So I think important. The message was portability, not about the PDF. It's something else.
Yeah. So certainly portability is an important aspect, and I guess one of the things that we're trying to understand in this one is pulling that a bit further down and saying, well, what's important about portability? Is it being able to use it on lots of different devices, or actually is it about having a copy of it that hasn't been adjusted or changed? And it's really trying to hone down more into what specific elements people are interested in, because that has an impact on what works and what doesn't work.
One comment on that. So based on your the survey here, mm-hmm. PDF, that kind of thing is consistent with the searchable.
Yeah.
And there are our XBRLs are more consistent with the second downloaded into models.
Mm-hmm.
Is it correct, my understanding?
I guess that's clearly appears to be one of the benefits for XBRL, downloadability into models and ability to utilize the data in multiple forms. That certainly is. I mean, I think searchability and again, there's an aspect here where searchability kind of connected in a PDF world with the kind of boundary of information. So again, it comes back to context. If you're searching within an annual report that is bounded and it's difficult to go outside of that, it gives you a certain amount of context that means you could be more comfortable that the results that you're looking at from the search are kind of the results that you're expecting. And so that's an element around context, which is quite important, and that's one area that we're trying to understand how that works in a more data orientated world.
Okay, so you're suggesting that PDF is giving you that keeping you bounded, or
so one of the benefits that people, or one of the reasons people like in a PDF document versus, and this is from the first rule, so versus searching across the web, for example, is you get better quality of result within the PDF because it's excluding so much information. You already have many, basically you get sort of a shortcut because you already know it's in the annual report. You've kind of got a view it's going to be in there. You've got some sense of where it's going to be and what the terms are that they're utilizing. So
there's other information that can give you that with the XBRL search. So.
Okay. You're finished, right?
I have questions. But the page 9, I thought maybe I also answered to your question here, but I can't remember. Is it selective answers or is it showed the selection on it? Is it choice or not?
So we picked a number of technology and technology trends, and then left some kind of comment boxes so that people.
So you're picking up from the text box answering.
So we gave her like a list, and then provided opportunity for people to add additional items.
So those words in the list.
Were these the ones in the list? Yes.
It's just I wanted to make sure because it's
quite. We have things like apps as well, so that this is it's cut slightly.
Sure.
That was a very simple question on same slide.
Mm.
I assume that people who responded, specifically investors.
Your mic. Yes, it's on.
I'm assuming that specifically investors, not about the companies and others, have they ever actually looked at XBRL, or have they just looked at any companies who done XBRL filing?
I mean, it's a difficult question because the investors who will answer, the investors who are attracted, will be various levels of technology sophistication and levels of data use. And I think reflecting back on the first project, one of the areas there is that they're plugged into the kind of data providers, and if they don't know whether the data provider is accessing that information, they probably have no real sense of whether they already are utilizing XBRL data or not.
So really, you have a coming question?
Yeah, I have a question as well, because I think passing lots of investors may not know XBRL. When we ask investors, do we use structured electronic data, the answer may be different. That's a remark, but I also have a question. In your challenges and in the attributes that investors found important, did your survey highlight differences in patterns depending on what type of investment analysis you're doing or what type of investor you are, or did you not?
So in the survey, we've not collected data. We're not collecting data at that level. Obviously, as we're doing the interviews with investors, understanding the context of how they use the information and where they sit in the investment chain does feed through to the results. So, I wouldn't say that the survey results are any indication of what the report may or may not say at the end of the day, because it's just a highlighter of interesting areas for us to look at and consider within the main project through interviews. But I would say, I met all of lab projects, they're only as good as the people that we get to speak to. So if anyone has good examples of how things are being utilized, or has clients or people from the investment community or technology companies who think it would make sense for us to hear from and understand from, and we are very open to meeting and discussing.
Thank you very much, Thomas, for coming to present to us.
I think Gary has a...
Oh, sorry, Gary.
I think it would be slide 10 in the deck. And it's probably two after that one.
Okay.
Last bullet there. Regulators becoming focused on the wrong points in the cycle.
Yeah.
In your judgment, what are the wrong points?
Well, so... Again, this is an error. I mean, I suppose what this is reflecting upon is the value of the other sets of information and perhaps the timeliness of some of the other information. And from a UK perspective, with the preliminary announcements being kind of a key driver of investment decisions for a subset of investors and a subset of analysts, is whether having the annual financial statements tagged, are you missing a big opportunity there because they've already made their investment decision? And so it's looking at whether, when we're speaking to investors, whether actually they have a desire to have more information or different types of information tagged.
And meaning at the earnings release and the supporting materials.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Were you hearing that from the investors?
So the investors that we're at the quite relatively at the beginning of the interview stage of the project. it's interesting in, you know, there are a subset of investors who do use, you know, focus on a lot of companies and focus on the information that right at the very beginning. And it's a thing that we quite often hear is that, you know, the annual report has less value because of the timeliness of that information. And so, yeah, it's an interesting area to push on. I think there's also a part around data providers and the way that they already provide information that, that covers that aspect. And so the question is whether that's fine and that's enough, or whether you need to.
No, I wanted to confirm the source, because I mean, in the US, that's been a big issue. It's to your point, you know, we focused on the wrong point in the cycle. I don't know if it would have made any difference, but if we knew then what we know now, earnings release would absolutely been the thing to tag. I can't tell you how many times we've heard that from users, that, you know, you're a day late with the K's and Q's. That doesn't apply to everybody. There are clearly users that do go to the Q's and the K's, but there are a lot that just simply need it sooner.
Yeah, no, that's a very interesting. That's very interesting.
You have a.
Can say that. I think that's a big difference from the XBR in other countries and Japan. So only Japan is having their business about XBR. So not only the annual report. So that the investors' intentions, the interest must be different. So maybe it's another country that has the same problem.
Good, thanks, Thomas. Interesting.
And hopefully I'll be able to give you, once we finalise, finish the project, I'll give you some time to go ahead through the interview session.